Live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios, this is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. Call Johnny now at 844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
And welcome to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs great. We'll be with you until 6 tonight. Coming up around 5:35 or so, Ryan Callahan. He covers the Vols for GoVols247.com. But right now, our good buddy Barrett Salee, National College Football writer with CBSSports.com. Also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. Barrett, hope your Thanksgiving weekend was great. And it's always a pleasure. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Johnny. I appreciate it.
All right. So, by the way, here we are. Over the last 4 weeks, we've averaged almost 15 games either being canceled or postponed. We had 15 over the weekend. Actually, 16 now, counting the Western Kentucky-Charlotte game that got called off earlier today. 18 last week, 3 Saturdays ago, 15, and before that, 10. We only have, knock on wood, we only have one at this moment called off. So maybe this trend can continue, hopefully, over the remaining 3 weeks.
So you are jinxing all of us right now, especially considering Michigan is going virtual and Ohio State just returned to the practice field today. But, yeah, so far so good. I guess the volume of cancellations early this week isn't as high as it was last week. So at least there's something to be excited for. And, man, there better not be any cancellations next weekend or this weekend, because there are not a ton of good games to keep an eye on.
By the way, I missed a Friday game, the UTEP contest hosting Southern Miss. So we're two. But that beats, you know, double digits, high double digits. So maybe we'll keep it at that.
All right, so speaking of UTEP, did you see after their game got canceled against Houston that their coach made all of the infected players ride a single bus from Houston to El Paso? Like, a COVID bus from Houston to El Paso sounds like hell.
It doesn't sound fun.
It does not sound fun at all.
Look, this is a strange year, and we're seeing strange, crazy things. And at this point, nothing would surprise me. We know the teams that have done it well and facing adversity and adjusting. We know the conferences that have not done a good job. I mean, how do we look at Ohio State? Because here's the committee. We get the second poll tonight. And we talked about this last week prior to the first unveiling. And, you know, I was on the side that I thought the committee would hit BYU hard, and they did. They were ranked 14th. But there's some doors opening, you know, like here's Northwestern falling, so they're falling to the wayside. But the Ohio State situation, you know, right now they're trying to get this game in with Michigan State. There's two games remaining on their schedule. But once again, it's unlike what we hear about the SEC having the wiggle room where we talk about postponements. In the Big Ten, it's about cancellations. How does the committee look at Ohio State?
I think, judging from what happened last week, that a number of games or lack thereof matters. Because if you remember, except in BYU's case, but we can get into that later. But you know, Washington wasn't in it. Oregon was 3-0, and they were 15th. And I think that if Oregon was 5-0, no matter who the other two games were against, they'd probably be higher than 15th. So I think that there's certainly a precedent, not that precedent matters in these mid-season rankings, because they change the precedent all the time, but at least you can at least gauge the conversation in the room being one that does value games played. And with Ohio State, you know, Texas A&M is going to play 10 games, right? There are going to be teams with a significant number of games. And are you going to punish them for doing that? I don't know. Are you going to punish Ohio State for not having any say in the decision of how many games the Big Ten play? It's a really messy situation, and there's no right answer. But in my mind, I think the committee is going to value games played more than maybe people recognize.
Well, we know Notre Dame, Clemson, one of those two teams is going to lose again. And then we look at Texas A&M. We've talked about them. To me, they're in a great position. When you're three, how are you going to deny Texas A&M? Not unless Florida upsets Alabama, and so Florida would then steal A&M's spot as far as in the 14 playoff, because Alabama, to me, would still go if their only loss is to Florida in the SEC title game, for example. But A&M, as long as Alabama wins out, A&M, to me, is going to be one of the four playoff teams.
I tend to agree with you. Florida can still get in that mix, too, because what if Notre Dame kills Clemson and wins the second? Clemson's out. What if Ohio State doesn't make the Big Ten championship game because it doesn't have enough games, which is extremely plausible now? I don't think they can reward Ohio State. So you're looking at a situation where, and Dari Noka from the SEC Network put this on Twitter today, it's not that hard to conceive of a situation where you get three SEC teams in.
It's, you know, two, right now, two is the magic number, but you're right, because of eliminations. I mean, here's the other thing. Okay, how do you compare that to, say, Cincinnati? Cincinnati's lone win over a ranked team was Army, and this is not one of Army's best seasons. I mean, I look, there's a reason why I have the Armed Forces update each and every week. I love, you know, promoting what the Armed Force squads are doing. And usually we're talking about bowl-eligible teams with Air Force, Army, and Navy. But this isn't the better of the Army seasons. I mean, it's decent, but it's not. If that's your best win, if you're Cincinnati, compared to a Texas A&M team that, beat a ranked Florida team, that beat that lost their only game would be the number one seed at this point in Alabama. I mean, to me, it's tough to leave A&M out if their only loss is to Alabama.
Well, and then if Florida beats Alabama, you're right. Cincinnati, I think, is in a better spot than BYU, although I don't think it should be. I think BYU is getting completely screwed here. But if you're in a situation where Florida beats Alabama, Alabama had already beaten Texas A&M, and Texas A&M had already beaten Florida, the SEC is sitting pretty. And then at that point, I would be really interested to see what happens if Notre Dame loses to Clemson. Because you got five teams that have really legitimate arguments at only four spots. And really, the logic that has to be used to eliminate one team is almost impossible to have, to contradict yourself if you're the committee.
How bizarre.
The other side of the coin. So, it's a mess.
With what you just brought up, how bizarre would it be that there's only two conferences represented in the college football playoff, the ACC and the SEC, both getting two?
Would it surprise you?
Not with the way things are playing out right now. If it is indeed the case where Florida beats Bama and Clemson beats Notre Dame, I'm sorry, with what Notre Dame and Clemson has done resume-wise, once again, this is about resume and how the College Football Playoff Committee looks at that resume, and there's not enough from Ohio State to put you in the mix.
No, there's not. And I think Ohio State clearly is making a massive effort to get this game in against Michigan State this weekend. On the other hand, Michigan is having its own issues with COVID, and they play Ohio State next week. So maybe this is the year that Jim Harbaugh finally beats Ohio State, just not on the football field.
Now, that's just crazy talk right there. Just crazy talk. Well, I guess if you can't beat him the normal way on the football field, there's
gotta
other
beat
ways
him
to
some
beat
way.
Him. Yep. Hey, DeVonta Smith, you know, just thinking about best player, right now, if you talk about one player from Alabama, and actually the thing about it, too, you can start looking at Najee Harris, too, but Mac Jones, as far as the Heisman Trophy is concerned, Mac Jones, Kyle Trask from Florida, to me, the front runners. But should DeVonta Smith be in that conversation?
He should be. He just can't because he's a wide receiver on a team with two other Heisman Trophy candidates. So it's impossible for him to be in that conversation, which sucks for him because he should be recognized. But that's just the way, you know, things go. But there's no doubt he's having a season better than Amari Cooper had at Alabama when he was a finalist. He's having a season better than Calvin Johnson. It's one of the all-time wide receiver seasons right now. And you know, it's unfortunate he doesn't get that recognition in terms of Heisman, but, you know, I think everybody knows him. Even if he wins the, if you're a wide receiver and you're going to be in the Heisman Trophy discussion, you have to be an elite, elite kick returner too, or punt returner. And he doesn't really do that. So it's unfortunate that he's not getting that recognition. But there's just there are too many options with Alabama. And you know, in our Heisman voting ballot, we get three choices, and I find it really hard to believe that enough voters are willing to put a player, two players from the same team in their three spots. It's not going to happen.
How strange is it that if you ask fans of the Georgia Bulldogs, they talk about a disappointing year, and you know they're going to be ranked eighth tonight in the second poll by the College Football Playoff game. Well, but you got to move them up because they looked impressive against South Carolina, and they were already ninth, knowing Northwestern got beat. Miami was off, and so the two teams behind Georgia were off either postponement or a bye, and then the third team got beat Maryland. So, with that said, Georgia will be eighth tonight. So the SEC will have four of the top eight teams in the poll tonight.
I'm sure that'll fit well with the rest of the country, right?
So that makes your case that you can start doing a scenario with three teams instead. Because if Notre Dame beats Clemson the second time, that possibility of three teams, because they're ahead of Cincinnati. Are you going to jump Cincinnati just because if they haven't accomplished anything that from building that resume, you're not going to. It's not like the AP voters or back when we had the UPI too, where people could do whatever they want. The committee doesn't look at it that way. It's like, what have you done this week to improve your situation? And so that really creates that opportunity where, depending on how this plays out in the ACC, you could have even that three teams from the SEC is a possibility.
Yeah, it's a legit possibility. And, you know, they rip up and come new every single week with their rankings, but you're running out of options. If you're trying to find the top eight, top ten, you're running out of options. You're going to have a lot of SEC teams in there. And I think it's really, I wouldn't say irresponsible, but I think it's a little bit presumptive to assume that that Cincinnati can win the eye test. I just don't think that's going to happen. Or BYU should, but you know, it's going to be fun. Three SEC teams in the playoffs. Write it down in ink. It's going to happen.
If Ohio State only is able to play one of these two remaining games, so that means they're at 5-0. I mean, they can't play for the Big Ten title. What do you do with them?
Wisconsin that same day for the third place trophy.
If they change the rules, which
they can play. They can play that. They can play that Saturday.
But is that good enough? But is that good enough?
Not in my mind. No. But is it good enough in the committee's mind? I don't know. Maybe I. That's the thing, this is such a mess. How much do you value a third place December 19th win over a Wisconsin team that hasn't played many games either?
Right.
I don't know how you value that.
I mean, Wisconsin's got, here's the thing, Wisconsin, so they look good to start the year. They've got three games under their belt. Just three games.
Oh, it's such a mess, and I love it.
I mean, you have Northwestern playing probably Indiana for the Big Ten title. And Indiana will be without Michael Penix, who's out for the year now with a torn ACL. So you'll have...
And here's the other thing. It can still be one loss Indiana or one loss Northwestern. And, I mean, they're going to have they're going to have a conference championship. Such a mess.
This is the strangest December in college football we've ever had, only because we're not accustomed to talk about everybody still playing regular season games on December 5th, December 12th, and December 19th.
Oh, no. It's very bizarre because think of it. This Saturday should be the SEC or all the conference championship games, and the wildest recent December that we've had was 2007 when LSU won the SEC championship and then watched West Virginia lose that night. That was just one Saturday. We have three of them left.
people always ask me, why do you have such a disdain for Ohio State? And I said, I don't really have disdain for Ohio State. It just reminded me growing up as a kid when the when Alabama would be in that conversation throughout the 70s for the national championship, you'd have either Michigan or Ohio State with the weak schedule still being in that hunt as far as for the national title. And yet they're not facing off each other because they're going to the Rose Bowl to play the winner from the Pac-8, then Pac-10, now the Pac-12.
Yeah, it was very reminiscent of that. You know, it's almost like a new age version of the old way we went about things, right? Like where, you know, instead of having every AP voter and UPI voter sort of pick their national champion, you've got 12 people in a room, but they're all sort of, you know, all these teams sort of are insulated and you have no frame of reference. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be wild.
How do you look at Iowa State? You know, they had they beat Texas, so they will probably be flirting with just outside the top 10 tonight. They've got the best record in the Big 12. How do we look at Iowa State?
Just a great job by Matt Campbell. The Breece Hall saying five-star culture versus five-star talent is 100% accurate in how they've built that program. And if they're able to go to Oklahoma twice, and I know folks have written off the Big 12, and I'm one of them, but if we're going to get super weird, what do you think of a two-loss Ohio or Iowa State team that has beaten Oklahoma twice if they win the Big 12 championship?
But you're also talking about a two-loss Oklahoma team already as well. So
I understand that. But
and then if you beat them again, you're talking about a three-loss Oklahoma team. And, oh, by the way, they still have a couple of games to go before we get to that point. You know, West Virginia could beat Oklahoma since that game will be played at West Virginia.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. Iowa State, I think that they've done a tremendous job. They've done it. Matt Campbell's done it the way that that he's wanted to go about it. He's made a name for himself, and I think people understand what that program means, and it's discipline, it's toughness, and that's something that resonates in the Big 12, especially when you can do it with players that are, I mean, let's just face it, are not as just raw talented as some others.
All right, so here we are. Look in your crystal ball. The biggest surprise tonight with the second poll from the College Football Playoff Committee.
The biggest surprise will be that BYU randomly moves up more than it probably should based on where it was last week. I think BYU is a really, really good team. But if you're going to put them at 14 this week, you got to keep them around that same number in theory. I think that BYU will magically move up the rankings despite not really doing anything.
I mean, the problem is there's only one team ahead of them that got beat, and that's Northwestern.
I know.
Now, are you gonna penalize the Hurricanes of Miami for having an off week, or penalize Oklahoma, who lost their game to West Virginia?
Yes, they will do that because I think they heard the BYU feedback.
See, I don't think they'll pay attention to that because several members are former head coaches, and I don't think they think in those terms. And once again, the one thing that we talk about that's been pretty consistent since 2014, it's not like what we assume these teams are. It's what have you done to this point? And, you know, with that said, you know, BYU hasn't done anything to improve their resume since last Tuesday.
No, they haven't, but you mentioned coaches on the committee. And I think last week, and we heard this from Dave Barta, that the resume from BYU wasn't impressive. Which, like, look, we know their strength of schedule sucks. They've done all they can to piece together a schedule, but it's not very good. So if that was the criticism last week, I would imagine some of those coaches went back and looked at their games and maybe approach them with more of an eye test point of view, and they're going to pass the eye test. They're a legit good football team with grown men playing. Like, so I just think that we've seen them, like the committee go back and forth and back and forth in the way they operate. and the different mindsets that the different members have. And I would imagine that the coaches especially will rank teams, or at least rank BYU, based more on eye tests this week than it did last week.
One more question before we let you go. The ACC smelling blood in the water, thinking about the green dollars and stuff. They made sure that Notre Dame doesn't get upset next week. And so basically they've now assured themselves of Notre Dame having a spot in the championship game.
Yeah, how about getting a spot in the ACC championship game based on a press release on a Tuesday afternoon?
Yep.
Good for you, Notre Dame. That's the first time that's ever happened, I think. Honestly, if you're the ACC, you're looking around going, well, dang, we have our dream scenario. How do we protect it? Well, in Florida, or in Clemson and Notre Dame seasons this weekend, and keep Miami around just for posterity's sake and try to protect two teams in the college football playoff. That's, hey, you know what? If you can get away with it, do it.
Because Wake Forest, you know, Wake Forest is one of those feisty teams. If the weather is bad, it could turn into an ugly game. Wake Forest could pull an upset on December 12th, but now they don't have to worry about it.
Can you imagine, though, if that would be the most ACC thing ever, honestly, if that was in play.
I like that. Hey, Bear, do us a favor. Remind the listeners again the different ways and the best ways to keep up with all your college football coverage.
Yeah, download the CBS Sports app, watch CBS Sports HQ, listen to SiriusXM. You can also hit me up on all the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Barrett Salee. And we'll have plenty for you the next couple days on CBS Sports HQ.
Hey, thank you as always. Have a great week. We'll talk soon.
Thank you too, Johnny.
Thank you. That's Barrett Salee joining us. Zach, to that point I was just bringing up, because the more games you play, the more opportunities for upsets. Just like when people want, let's go from 4 teams to 8 teams as far as the playoffs, or hey, make it 16. Just like we talk about March Madness, the best team in basketball doesn't always necessarily win the national championship, because upsets do happen. And to me, it's not always the case, but really it's the most consistent team. The hottest team in March cuts down the nets as far as national title in normal years of March Madness. But, Wake Forest is a feisty enough team. There's no guarantees that Notre Dame marches in there and wins against Wake Forest. So they made sure of it by, let's just not have the game happen at all. And that's what the ACC did today. So Notre Dame is assured of being in a position now, with their record to be a part of the ACC title.
Well, they deserve it, right? I don't know, man. None of this makes sense. All of it's just hearsay, it seems like, because, yeah, they make an official decision, but who knows if the ACC title shows up and they go to that game and you can't even play. What because of COVID-19, then what happens to that on any of the SEC champions or any of that? So,
they want to make sure that they don't get it, and at least if they don't get it from any other team. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, there you go.
So after that, yeah, interesting year. Do what you got to do. But they've at least assured themselves of a spot now in the ACC championship.
So proud of them. The first year in, too. Wow.
All right. Coming up, if you'd like to be a part of the show, hey, they had to pay for it because they had to split some of that TV revenue from NBC Sports. If you want to be a part of it, 615-844-5600, open segment coming up. Still coming up also this hour, Ryan Callahan joins us from Knoxville. He covers the Vols for GoVols247.com. Hey, throughout the month of December, I know a lot of you will be watching football because, hey, that is what we do. College football, NFL, it doesn't matter. But if you're drinking with friends or family, the bottom line is this: don't get behind the wheel. On average, a DUI can set you back $10,000. It can also cost you your life. So remember, fans don't let fans drive drunk. This message brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Good afternoon. There's a crash on the interstate in Rutherford County, 24 eastbound at Sam Ridley Parkway. It's got traffic really slow go as we look at it live. Again, there's so much traffic headed out in that area as it is towards Rutherford County, or should I say towards Murfreesboro in Rutherford County, 24 eastbound at Sam Ridley on a crash. 24 westbound and near OHB, that's an accident, also getting some attention. To cater your next holiday party, call Prince's Hot Chicken or go online, princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck, you're on time traffic.
When it comes to great times with family and friends, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment keeps raising the bar. With five centers in Middle Tennessee, Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offers bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. And don't forget, with TVs located throughout, you can always keep up with your favorite teams as well. Also, Hendersonville at Circus World and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in Stones River Mall provide two enhanced experiences to enjoy, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, time freak, laser maze, and a virtual reality roller coaster. Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of activities and reunions. Other locations to serve you include Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hey, this is Jack Gentry from the George Plaster Show, and if you're looking for gift ideas for this upcoming holiday season, look no further than my friend Colby Gaddis with the Gaddis Vault.
Hey guys, my name is Colby Gaddis, and I'm here to tell you about the Gaddis Vault. It's a business that I began over this quarantine season. I have the opportunity to bring you guys custom fine jewelry at 60% off of the retail prices. And why is it that we can do it that way? We do everything privately. I've seen the markups on diamonds at your average brick and mortar store, and that's why I set out to do things differently. You can message my team on Facebook or Instagram with an idea of what you're looking for, and I promise that we will take care of everything. Better yet, if you already have found the perfect piece, engagement ring, wedding band, diamond necklace that you found somewhere else, I guarantee that we can make the same thing for less. We also have some of our own products available now that you can find on our pages that would make for the perfect gift for your significant other this Christmas season. Again, my name is Colby Gaddis with Gaddis Vault. That's G-A-D-D-I-S Vault, and let me be your diamond guy.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyScan forecast. For this afternoon, it's going to be sunny, high 42. Clear tonight, low 24. Wednesday, sunny, high 50. Mostly cloudy, perhaps a shower Thursday, high 44. Utilizing the resources of the Beloved Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks, with you along with Zach Williams, 615-844-5600. Hey, to go back to what the ACC has done, and this just broke around 4:30 this afternoon. All right, so they basically made it where Clemson already had December 12th off. Notre Dame, their contest gets waived. They were scheduled to play Wake Forest. So, and Notre Dame, I wouldn't say just show up and play a game on Saturday because they're playing Syracuse, heavy favorites against Syracuse. Clemson has Virginia Tech. So they've basically set up the schedule where after this week, neither one of those teams will play again until December 19th. If Clemson wins and Notre Dame wins, they will be the two teams. Now, the only other team that could be a part of this, Notre Dame is already the reason why we say they're in the ACC title game, because of tiebreakers, they would be there. The other team, the Hurricanes of Miami, it could get interesting if we talk about, for example, Clemson losing to Virginia Tech. But I think they're also looking at what Barrett and I were talking about, where it could come down, depending on how this plays out, if Clemson beats Notre Dame, for example, we could see two teams from the SEC, two teams from the ACC. Those would be your four playoff teams.
Isn't that what basically college football wants? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just being cynical with this, but it seems like they really don't want – I mean, nobody really wants the Big Ten because they lag so long, right? Ohio State, right. Sorry. It sucks to be in that division. You shouldn't have been there. Nobody wants Pac-12 because, obviously, no one wants Big 12, obviously. So isn't that what college football really wants? They'd rather just get the ACC versus the SEC.
Well, and look, if you talk about Notre Dame, for example, if their only loss is to Clemson, and Clemson's only loss was to Notre Dame, so you would have two one-loss teams there. Certainly, if that's who they lost to, you know, you can make the case for both of them deserve to be there. And if it is Alabama and Florida in the SEC championship game, and there's two scenarios there. You know, the fact that if Alabama beats Florida, then Texas A&M would get in. If Florida beats Alabama, then Florida and Alabama would get in.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's Cincinnati going, hey, what about us? Well, you didn't look at the teams that these teams played, especially from the SEC, all the ranked teams these teams played. And if your only losses were the teams that are in the playoff, I mean, how can you make an issue with that? It'd be different if you get upset by a team unranked and get beat by three touchdowns as your only loss. It's different if your losses are coming to the teams that are in the playoff.
Yeah. Well, and see, this is the thing, too. It was always set up for this to kind of happen this way, right? If you go back to when all this started,
You mean the COVID-19 year.
Right. And so when you go back to all started this season, and at the time when this started, Big Ten wasn't going to even in the conversation, right? We didn't even know if they were ever going to play, or they were actually deciding when all the other teams are starting that they're not going to play, and they were going to set the ledger and all that good stuff. Well, they kind of expected this to only be the SEC and the ACC. So,
or at least one team from the Big 12, but, you know, they eliminated each other, and Iowa State did not help their cause when they lost to Louisiana by 17 to start the year. So,
exactly. You know, I feel like this was always in the plan, and it's just kind of played out this way that you don't really, you thought maybe Oklahoma or somebody could have came up, but the way they've played, it's been terrible, and nobody really from that area is good. So I wouldn't college football want to get the most out of their ratings that they can get, which is going to come from Clemson and then three SEC teams. You know, that's where they know their bread and butter's made, and now that they have Notre Dame in there, you can say those two, and then you can say two SEC teams. So that's where they make their most money, so why wouldn't they want it?
And luckily, and I think they'll be smart to do this, if it is, say, those four teams, I don't want to see the rematches in the semifinals. If there's rematches, I'd rather see if it did occur in the championship game, which means if Alabama's number one, I don't want to see Texas A&M number four. I'd want A&M to be either second or third. Mm-hmm. That way you avoid having the SEC champions play, or, you know, the two teams from the SEC play in the semifinal and the two teams from the ACC play in the semifinals, then we get the national championship game. I don't want to see that scenario.
Well, you might. You might not get what you want on that one.
I know. We'll see. Hey, look, there's still plenty of things to happen on and off the field. So,
well, that's
we'll
the thing.
See.
We could all get to, like I said earlier, these championship games, and they may not even be able to. What are they going to do if you all of a sudden have, you know, the two teams and positive COVID tests come up?
They've already talked about it. They've already been having conversations, thank goodness, as far as moving
Wait,
back.
Wait, they planned ahead?
I know, it's
weird.
It wasn't led by any conversations from the Big Ten, by the way. I'll just throw that out there. But, you know,
they led all conversations.
they've had conversations where instead of playing New Year's Day with the semifinals, that they can be moved back or moved later in the month of January. So it just, once again, is how this all plays out over the next 3 weeks.
Oh, man. But what if then they can't do it? You know, and that's what I'm saying.
They will eventually be able to get this pulled off. It's just the
you
question
so.
Will be when. All right, coming up on the other side, chance talks some Tennessee Vols. Ryan Callahan with GoVols247.com. He's on the way. You're listening to National Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. There's a crash on the interstate in Rutherford County, 24 eastbound at Sam Ridley Parkway. It's got traffic really slow go as we look at it live. Again, there's so much traffic headed out in that area as it is towards Rutherford County, or should I say towards Murfreesboro in Rutherford County, 24 eastbound at Sam Ridley on a crash. 24 westbound near OHB, that's an accident, also getting some attention. To cater your next holiday party, call Prince's Hot Chicken or go online, princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck here on Time Traffic.
So you're watching the game and you see another ad for FanDuel Sportsbook and you think to yourself, is that legal here in Tennessee? Well, you bet it is. FanDuel Sportsbook is now legal in Tennessee. You can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free. Get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. Seriously, no strings attached. Just place any bet you want. If you win, keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. So you can take another shot at the end zone on the house. I love this risk-free bet. Or just the beginning, they get a simple. They've got a simple app, and once you win on FanDuel Sportsbook, they get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. And to claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up for that promo code Greg P, so they know that I sent you FanDuel Sportsbook promo code Greg P.
Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that four-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Nikki Yates is here, ladies and gentlemen.
As a fan of both of the men, this is the place to be. Do you want to know about sports? This is the place to be. Listen to John and Greg. This is it.
Wow. That was awesome.
I quit.
No, I'm done.
That's a mic drop.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
Sports Radio. WNSR.
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs great. Time to check in. Look, this is a big week. It's a Florida-Tennessee week. Ryan Callahan, he covers the Vols for GoVols247.com. Look, just forget about the records. Throw the records out when we talk about this matchup, Ryan.
Maybe. Somewhat. Throw out the records, Florida's dominated, I guess you could say.
Maybe Tennessee wants to throw the records out, but it doesn't quite work that way.
Yeah. No, and this is it's an interesting rivalry because it's been very, I guess you could sort of compare it to in a way, to Tennessee-Alabama in recent history, because not that Florida's won by the lopsided margins that Alabama has, but Florida has won all but one meeting in this series since 2005. So it's been a fairly one-sided series to the point that the Florida player, and it hasn't gotten as much attention this week as I feel like it would have in another Tennessee-Florida week, but essentially brushed it off saying he's never really been in a game where he's had to worry that much about Tennessee, essentially, because it's not been a very competitive rivalry. So it's one of those things that's definitely one Tennessee fans feel. But Florida fans, you know, I think obviously they've had their sights more set on Georgia in recent years, but there's certainly a lot of Tennessee fans that view this as the big game in recent years on the Tennessee schedule.
What's your gut tell you? What does it tell you about the football players themselves for Tennessee? Are they ready for just this season in?
No, I don't think so. I feel like this this team kind of has a sense that they've got more in the tank than they've shown so far, and that this year has just kind of started to get away from them a little bit. But they still view these last three games as a chance to sort of end the year with a better taste in their mouths. I don't know that they think they're going to win out or anything like that. But I don't think they feel that they've played anywhere near their best football. And whether that's true or not, we'll have to wait and see. But I think that this team obviously hasn't had the opt-outs that we've seen from a lot of teams around the country. We haven't seen anything like that. I think they're just ready to play because they've had to sit out three of the past 5 weeks. And for pride, for whatever else is on the line, they still feel like they've got a lot to play for. And I think after all they've sacrificed to just make this year happen, the fact they've only gotten 7 games in and they've got 3 left, I think they're just excited to have a chance to play after kind of sitting around a lot over the past month.
And their reward, they get the 6th-ranked team in the country, Florida, this week, number 5, Texas A&M next week.
Yeah, and and we'll find out when that Texas A&M game is. The last we've heard from Philip Fulmer, Tennessee's athletic director, is that game against Texas A&M will likely be played the 19th, the final week of the season, with the Vanderbilt game being next week. But, that still could be subject to change as the SEC is still kind of looking at some things and seeing what they need to get in the next couple weeks. And it sounds like they'll announce the schedule for the final 2 weeks later this week. So that one still could be subject to change. But, yeah, 2 of the final 3 games either way going to be really tough and against teams that are hoping to make the college football playoffs. So that's the unfortunate side for Tennessee, is that they knew that the Arkansas and Auburn games were as important as they were, in part because you knew this was looming on the other side. Now you've got to try to find a win somewhere among some tough, tough games that no one's going to expect them to win. And then obviously Vanderbilt being the one game that everyone will view as a pretty realistic shot at a win for Tennessee.
Speaking of, Tennessee did suffer a loss yesterday, losing having a player decommit, still until you get the signature on the dotted line, we don't know. But the last thing you want, especially if you're a fan of Tennessee, to see this 5-game losing streak looking bad in the second half in these games. And, oh, by the way, losing players before the National Signing Day in December.
Yeah, definitely not ideal. They've had 2 decommitments in the past week, and both of them from highly ranked players that were among the guys that you definitely didn't want to lose if you're Tennessee. 5-star linebacker Terrence Lewis of Miami, the one that decommitted last night. He'd been committed since that run back in the spring, back in late April. He was part of that run where Tennessee just was on a tear and climbed to number 2 nationally in the 24/7 Sports Composite team rankings. And now, losing the top-rated player in the class, that's obviously a blow anytime. There's still some involvement there with Tennessee, to the point that I wouldn't rule out the possibility of him rejoining Tennessee's class, but I think the fact that he's decommitting this close to the early signing period obviously makes you think that he's more likely to end up somewhere else, but wouldn't count out Tennessee just yet, but multiple teams involved there. And then Demarius McGee, the one that I think is maybe more costly for Tennessee, a top 100 cornerback, a top 100 player in 24/7 Sports rankings anyway, a guy whose stock really rose after this spring and this summer, and Tennessee's been on him for a long time. And then he decommits in part, I think, because he got an offer from LSU about a month after he committed to Tennessee. So LSU looks like the main threat there. Again, Tennessee's still involved. Maybe some optimism there of getting him back in the class. But those two decommitments in less than a week, that's a tough pill for Tennessee to swallow, given how much they need that kind of talent in the program, just dynamic players all over the place, and especially at cornerback, where despite Jeremy Pruitt's expertise as a secondary coach, they've really struggled to land elite corners the past couple of years. McGee looks like a guy who could really address that, and now they've lost him.
Florida State, Auburn, both of these programs also suffered some decommitments. Florida State's situation is pretty unique, because right now if you look at the team rankings, Florida State 33rd in the 24/7 Sports rankings, and then you have the Auburn Tigers now 40th. Two programs that certainly do not need any decommitments at this point. Florida State's situation strange because of the lack of quarterbacks. There's none right now then, because that was the guy. So they lose a key commitment as far as at quarterback, And plus, if you look at in the last 3 years, 2 years of issues where they didn't sign a single quarterback either. So Florida State's issues as far as at quarterback, some major depth problems there with this latest decommitment.
That's a big loss. And like you said, 33rd, you know, I think people expect them to still add some players to this class, but that's, you know, in a first year with a program that's been where it's been the last couple years, you know, you certainly thought it might be a challenge for Mike Norvell and that staff, but they need to get up there a little bit more in the rankings, I think, to sort of get some momentum. You can often sell hope and the possibilities of what's to come in the first year, even when you don't have results to sell. So I'm sure Florida State fans expecting a little bit more than that and hoping for a stronger finish. But that's Auburn, the big surprise there, though. 12 commitments this late in the cycle. I know it might be maybe a little smaller class for Auburn. I'm not sure what they're expecting to sign in terms of numbers, but they're still in the mix for a number of guys, including some Tennessee commitments that they still could land with. So they're one of those SEC teams that really could change a lot on national or between now and national signing day, just in terms of what are they going to add, how much more can they climb up there, because that's normally a team that's pretty much always in the top 15, if not the top 10.
Does Jeremy Pruitt, if it is indeed Tennessee Vanderbilt, they switch around with a schedule where they'll be facing each other, you know, one of these weeks coming up, either the 12th or the 19th. Is that the determining factor for Jeremy Pruitt as far as whether he's back or not? Say if he loses to A&M and to the Florida Gators, does he have to win at least that game to be back?
You know, I wouldn't say it that definitively. My view on this is that Tennessee wants nothing to do with the coaching change unless it's just completely unavoidable, unless its hand is forced, because this is a terrible year for them to have to be dealing with that possibility, obviously, because of the money that you would owe to that staff, somewhere north of $15 million to buy out the entire staff. And then on top of that, the timing of it all, because you have the early signing period December 16 through 18, and then you play your final game on December 19. And so that's very different from a normal year. You'd be looking at the possibility of signing some players, and then if you fired your coach after that, you'd be looking at having to maybe let players out of their letters of intent after they've signed, which you see a lot of times in basketball, but it's normally not something you have to deal with in football because of the timing being different for signing day compared to the regular season. So all of that, just it's not a good setup to have to make a change. So I think Tennessee would love to just avoid that scenario if at all possible. The one scenario where I think there could be a discussion, though, to your point, is if they do lose out. If they lose all three, you lose to a Vanderbilt team with an interim coach, that's not a good setup. That's going to be hard to swallow for anybody that's involved with Tennessee's program. 8 straight losses, I'd have to go back and research. I'm not sure it's ever happened in Tennessee's history. This is already the longest losing streak since 1988 for this program. That would not be good company, at least. We know the 4-8 season that was Butch Jones' final year was the most losses Tennessee's ever had in a season. So you would at least be tying that and in a 10-game season at that. So then you're talking about making all sorts of negative history. That's not a good place to be, and it's tough to turn things around once it gets to that point. So I think Tennessee's got to avoid that. If you're Jeremy Pruitt, you've got to avoid that scenario just to keep that discussion off the table. But even at that scenario, I would not necessarily guarantee that a change would be made. I just think that's the one scenario where it could be on the table.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if Tennessee loses any more commitments over the next 2 weeks prior to signing day. And it'll also be interesting to see if the SEC does indeed switch it around where instead of Texas A&M, it would be Vanderbilt. Because of loss to Florida, not unexpected this week, but a loss to Vanderbilt in 2 Saturdays from now, prior to signing day, could be a different situation altogether, especially if all of a sudden you lose 1, 2, 3 more commitments prior to signing day. Something to keep up with over the next 2 weeks. Do me a favor, remind everybody again what to expect when they go to govols247.com.
Yeah, one other quick thing on that, too. You can lose a game. Let's not forget, any postponement at this point results in a cancellation most likely. So Tennessee and Vanderbilt probably just hoping to get that game played at this point. Let's hope everything goes smoothly the next few weeks. But, yeah, right. Plenty to read up on that and much more on the recruiting front. Obviously, as you said, the stretch run to early signing day and so much more. We've got it all covered for you at govols247.com. And check it out today before midnight if you sign up. 75% off an annual subscription with our Cyber Monday sale extended through today. So check that out. And join the site today while you still can at that awesome rate. It's our best sale we've ever offered for that I can remember. So definitely take advantage of that.
great Christmas present, too. Ryan, thank you as always. Always appreciate our chats with you. Have a wonderful rest of the week.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. That's Ryan Callahan with GoVols247.com. Coming up, we'll wrap up things with some final thoughts. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. There's a crash on the interstate in Rutherford County, 24 eastbound at Sam Ridley Parkway. It's got traffic really slow go as we look at it live. Again, there's so much traffic headed out in that area as it is towards Rutherford County, or should I say towards Murfreesboro in Rutherford County, 24 eastbound at Sam Ridley on a crash. 24 westbound near OHB, that's an accident, also getting some attention. To cater your next holiday party, call Prince's Hot Chicken or go online, princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck, here on Time Traffic.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
This fall, Thursday Night Football is back. Yeah! See the game's biggest and brightest stars.
That's big time there.
Every rivalry and marquee matchup, all in prime time.
I can't stop us.
Watch on NFL Network, Fox, and streaming on Prime Video.
Let's go!
Unbelievable!
Thursday nights, all eyes on us.
We go hard for what we got.
Thursday Night Football, Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Availability subject to change.
Five State Forecast.